This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You just heard that promotion. Matt Cotrero, Royals manager, will join us at 9 o'clock. He's got his squad at 500, 15-15. He's got a player hitting successfully in 20 straight games, a pitching staff that seems to be ready for the playoffs, and a bullpen that seems to be more trusted than people give them credit for. So a lot to ask the skipper for the Royals, who will join us at 9 a.m.
And then to find out how long Cole's going to be out, too.
Mm-hmm. You know? We'll talk to him about the injury of Cole Reagans. And then we'll see if he's watched any more Caglione video.
You said somebody was pitching tonight that we'd never heard of before. Somebody from Chillicothe or something?
St. Joe, Cameron. Noah Cameron.
Never heard of him.
Yeah. Noah Chillicothe.
Yeah. So hopefully he's, you know, successful. Maybe the reverse psychology finally works for another team for once, where you pitch a guy that nobody's seen or heard of, and then all of a sudden you get that start that's like six innings, two hits, no runs, one walk, four Ks. Awesome.
Or you can be like that guy for the Orioles last night.
No. No, don't
37-year-old, what was his name?
Gibson.
Yeah, Kyle Gibson. Mm-hmm. Put out a pitching display last night.
First three batters in the Yankees lineup. Deep to left and gone. Deep to left and gone. And gone. It's like, oh my God.
That guy should just retire. He ought to pull a Gil Mesh and just walk away, man. You're 37 years old. You've seen better days, bro. Like, seriously.
That was a tough go.
Whew. Noah Cameron, 2-0.
There you go. And triple
five games.
Yeah. Nice. Which is
His URA. Let me slide over. Oh, there we go. No, that's not it.
Okay.
Just make it up.
Yeah, no one will know.
Exactly. You could have said 2.57. I'm like, cool. Okay, we move on.
I don't know. It doesn't give me an ERA. He's given up 8 runs.
Okay. And two starts?
Two starts.
It doesn't give you an ERA?
Just gives me earned runs.
Okay. That's fine. Nobody cares. Royals tonight, they start their going for the series win against Tampa. Please do it. They are dogs again tonight. They are plus 154 on the money line. Over-under in tonight's game is 8.5. Last night was 4. And it's Drew Rasmussen versus Noah Cameron. So we'll see what happens. Vern's on Deck Show starts at 5 o'clock tonight. And then Royals 6:05 first pitch here. Noah Cameron versus Drew Rasmussen in Tampa in that minor league ballpark. So yesterday there was talk about how maybe Arenado was a name that Bob liked. I give you two names that I think maybe you would think about. And obviously, trades don't happen until teams kind of know what they are, because you can't trade the farm. Unless you're Colorado, no one's going out to your games anymore.
Colorado
the rest of the
lost again, you said yesterday.
4-25.
Yeah, the worst 29-game start in Major League Baseball history. Way to go, Colorado!
I was really hoping they'd catch the exact date, but because now they got to wait. You know, once you get past 30, but they could get if they
like. When do you think they'll? Well, what do they have now?
They're
what?
4-25. 25. So if they get a fifth win, then we're already in May. You can't get that. Be it just can't happen because you get past 30 and 31. But no, 4-25. Colorado Rockies, they stink. But no, you look at baseball.
Last
you look
year's
at,
White Sox are going. You guys are bad.
Hold my beer, says 2025 Colorado Rockies. But you look at teams that are like kind of trending towards, you know, maybe not doing great, but. Two names on teams that I don't know if they would ever be available. Now, one name, and I wondered, is like, if Houston were to fall completely out of it, mm-hmm. which they're in second place, they're a game out of first place, they're not selling anybody, but hypothetically.
Do they ever fall out of it, though? Like, even like when you think Houston's going to have a bad year, they end up in the playoffs.
Yeah, because there's always like a trash can nearby or whatever, or a microphone. But no, like a guy like a Jose Altuve type, if you're going to go Arenado type. Now, how Jose Altuve's contract is not putting that into effect, but like, you think he would still get booed? Not only that, but like, right? But like, he got moved to left field. He's getting older. Maybe if Houston starts to fall out of it in the AL East, then things change. Now, I don't think that's a serious name that would actually be able to get here, but I'm thinking of guys in that sort of realm of their career.
Sure, yeah.
And then I look at a guy like Brent Rooker.
Well, they had Brent Rooker here. Right. They never should have let him go.
They did. And Oakland, not Oakland, the Athletics, unidentified city that they have, but the Athletics NA when it comes to city, they're 15-15. They're just like the Royals. They're 2.5 out. Obviously, the Royals 3 out behind Detroit. But like, if they start to fall away and like Seattle and Houston and Texas take away that division, and they're, you know, one of those teams that always seem to sell, I feel like you have to have a reunited, you know, relationship with Brent Rooker. He's an outfielder. He's tops in home runs in the American League. Obviously, had his year last year. He seems like a name that's like just cliche for a Royals pickup at the deadline. Like, yeah, they got Brent Rooker. It's like, but wait, remember when you said that about Hunter Harvey?
Yeah.
Remember right. when you said that about Lucas Irsig? Like, nobody was out there. Like, maybe not, I can't say anybody, but like, there was a lot of people that when when the Royals got Lucas Irsig, they're like, that's the guy. They're like, they listen to Vern, and Vern's like, he's got a 99-mile-an-hour, you know, heater he can throw to you. This guy will be an okay piece. Estevez, another guy that known in baseball, but not one of those guys that, like, when you see his name, the needle goes all the way to the right side. Brent Rooker, let's have a reunited party and bring him back, put him in the corner of the outfield, if that is, in fact, what's going to happen, and not get a Caglione call-up.
Right, and I look, Brent Rooker's that one that you go back on and you say, as great as the Cole Reagans move was, the Brent Rooker move was equally as bad, because it has set you up to have to get Hunter Renfroe. And we know how Hunter Renfroe has been for this team, right? Not very good. So not only did you lose Brent Rooker, but you replaced him with Hunter Renfroe, and he hasn't done anything. So now you're looking for production in your outfield from the guy that you paid, what, $15 million over 2 years to replace a guy that you had for basically no money, and you just kind of let him walk out the door. And so I think that Brent Rooker move kind of has a trickle-down effect, because it ended up getting, you know, Hunter Renfroe or MJ Melendez out in the outfield, and you have nobody right now in the outfield that's consistently hitting. Isabel's doing fine, and Drew Waters has been a nice addition, you know, to this ball club.
Mark Canacorn.
But think of how much better this organization would have been had they just kept Brent Rooker on their team and not let him go to Oakland, and now he's turned into one of the better power hitters in the outfield, you know, that baseball has right now. And so you had that guy here, and those are the moves that sting. Those are the moves you look back on and you rue the day you made that move, right? But you have to find a way to recover from that, and if that's going out and maybe making a trade for Nolan Arenado, or the Altuve one is interesting because he still has 5 years left on his contract and he's like 35 years old, so that like puts him into that age of,
he's like $36 million a year.
Yeah, this year and next year he's making bank, and then after that it dissipates a little bit to like 17 and then 13.
He has the same situation as Trout. Because, like, Trout's a guy, too. Like, if the Angels fell out, I'd be like, go get that guy. But he's the same situation.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, type of thing. Too long of a contract and whatnot for Altuve, I think, to come here. I don't hate the Brent Rooker move, but why would Oakland want to part with him at this point in time if they're, you know, in the middle of the race? And he's affordable for Oakland right now, and they don't really like people that aren't affordable. And you have to have some sort of cachet when you're going to move to the, you know, the land of slots and, you know, Vegas and all that kind of stuff. So Brent Rooker is kind of that guy. So, I mean, there's options out there, but now it's April's over. May is here now. So now you start looking at those ass teams like the Colorado Rockies and teams of that nature, not necessarily the White Sox. They have Louis Robert. He's not doing that great. They're probably not going to trade him to Kansas City anyway. So you got to look at some of these other teams that aren't doing well, start scouring their rosters and see somebody maybe has a year left on their contract or is coming up at the end of their contract this year that you can go out and get for one of those outfield positions. Because I do think there needs to be a sense of urgency right now, you know, with the Royals because of how good this pitching is. The last thing you want to do is miss the playoffs because you weren't able to make the right move to just get a bat in here to give you some assurances that you can score a couple of runs a night to back up what has been World Series caliber pitching for this ball club.
You have a clue, Mac, who has the worst batting average currently on the Royals roster?
Oh, on the Royals roster right now. Like, are we talking everyday player-ish? Yep. It's got to be Vinny Pasquantino.
It is. He's hitting 174.
Damn.
Hunter Renfroe is hitting 177.
That was my guess.
And then Michael Massey hitting 188. Outfield or first baseman or middle of the lineup bat, DH.
And see, that's where Nolan Arenado comes in, because you get him, you've got a third baseman now. Now you can move Jonathan India to second, and now you can move Michael Garcia to left. Or maybe you move Drew Waters to left and Garcia to center and Isbell, or however you want to do it. The acquisition of Nolan Arenado gives you so many options, Dusty, that this ball club can use that they need. And I think you're right. I think first base is a position that you have to look at now as well. 174 ain't cutting it, Vinny. I'm sorry. I hate to be that guy, and I know we all like him, but 174 ain't going to cut it.
You know who could play first base? Could be Jack Caglione. Maybe outfield's not the answer. Who knows? I think it is must-win time for this college organization. I'll explain why and who on the other side of 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty. Make sure to follow us on Instagram at TheFan965 for behind-the-scenes content from the show. Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.
Dive right back into it here on Fesco and Dusty on your wonderful Wednesday. Wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't piss at least one texter off who absolutely hates this, but one other person said, I love it, play it again.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba, I'm loving it. Well, hello, everybody. Happy Wednesday.
You better believe it. It is a Wednesday, just powering through the week, and you can go to our X page on The Fan 965 as we wrap the Chiefs draft up, right? It is over. It is done. We had Binkley on to conclude it. He was so ready to talk about the Kentucky Derby. He's so over the draft and ready for schedule release.
Oh, he's never over the draft. He's probably got Mach 2.0 out for next year already, right?
You would think. But our poll question today is, now that the draft is over, how satisfied are you with the results of the Chiefs draft? 100% being extremely satisfied. So we have 75 to 100, 50 to 75, 25 to 50, 0 to 25. Right now, 64.6 of you that have voted, the 209, 64.6 are 75 to 100% satisfied. 30.6 are at between 50 and 75%, and then 2.4 each on the 25 to 50 or 0 to 25. So majority of the clubhouse is leading with 64.6% where they feel about the Chiefs, and we can dive into those Chiefs in a little bit. But before we do that, you kind of get the feeling that North Carolina, they got to win, and they got to win quick, because let's address the elephant in the room. Nobody saw this Belichick story happening the way it did.
It's been the greatest thing that we've ever seen in May.
You know, in May. And originally it was like, whoa, Bill Belichick, 74, girlfriend, 24, weird. Okay, this is a flash in the pan. This is one of these honeymoon phases, one of those, you know, welcome to the year of 2025. Then all of a sudden, it keeps going. He's on the beach taking photos as a fisherman, and she's a mermaid. Then there's the airplane photo. They're on the beach.
And at that point, I still don't think people really cared, right?
No, nah, and then the interview happened.
Yes.
But before the interview happened, there was the video that surfaced of her on the practice field, handing out playing cards, doing all this stuff. And then after that, the minor story that maybe not everybody that's tuned into it comes out. And it's, you know, she's involved in emails and player information and stuff like this. And then all of a sudden, like, the mood started to change for me there. And I think it, Mac and you as well, we're all like, well, this is odd. Like, if she's just his girlfriend, like, why is she involved with, like, player personnel and, like, recruiting and maybe NIL and, you know, all this sort of information? And then the interview happens on Sunday morning. And then everybody's kind of in this whole, like, carousel where Monday was, I don't know what happened with the Shador slide. I don't know what I watched on CBS on Sunday morning. And now Carolina, you know, are thinking to themselves, like, did we get duped? Like, is there something we didn't know about this? Are we concerned about this? And right now, the only thing that can literally cancel all of this is if Carolina goes out there and here we are halfway through the college season and they're 8-0 and Belichick's doing Belichick things. That's the only way this thing gets swept under the rug, because it ain't going anywhere and it's not going anywhere anytime soon.
No, it really isn't. And it's such a great human interest story too, because everybody has an opinion on this story. Yeah. Whether you're a guy, you're a gal, you're old or you're young, you've got an opinion on what's going on right now with Bill Belichick. And there's a lot of theories out there that are being thrown around, and we can dive into some of those. I told you guys this story was going to get, no pun intended, hot and heavy as we continued on. And yesterday was the first instance of that, where somebody zoomed in on her ring that she may have been wearing at the dinner table with Belichick. And like, the zoomed in, is that a left-handed ring that she's got on her finger? It sure does look like a big diamond on there. So that's going on now. All of this stuff, like, everything's going to going to be uncovered. I'm going to go on record, and I'm going to say the Duval guy has more success at Jacksonville than Belichick has at North Carolina.
Liam Cohen.
Is that what his name is?
Yep. Yeah.
Leonard Cohen.
Duval.
Yeah, Duval, that Willy Wonka looking dude yeah, with the 13-year-old
Augustus
general manager.
Save room for later.
I do think he's going to have more success, more success at Jacksonville than Bill Belichick will have at North Carolina. And I just think this is headed down a bad path. This doesn't look like a really good situation that he's got her kind of hanging around, getting involved the way that she did in that interview. It's a little scary. And I say that because I was listening to Boomer Esiason yesterday kind of opine a little bit about it. And he kind of alluded to the fact that she's there because maybe Bill's forgetting some things.
Yeah. And I go back
and
that's
kind of what that felt like yesterday.
Or
Monday, whenever that interview was.
Sunday morning. And I go back to the thing. It's like, I don't know if it is a relationship. I think it's a platonic relationship at this point. I don't know if it's a romantic relationship.
They've known each other since 2021, by the way.
Yeah, I've known a girl since we were sophomores in high school.
Well, that
we're not like out here.
No.
Together.
What I'm saying is age difference wise. Yeah. He started his relationship with her when she was 19 or 20, guys.
That's why they don't want us to know.
And
creepy.
But she put the video up yesterday that had the book, and it was dated by Bill when he autographed, like February 21st of 21 or something like that.
Weird.
Take 4 years off of her age. That's 20. Ugh. They've been together and known each other since she was like 19 or 20.
So she's just hammering out a final on the plane. He's like, I think it's a D. I think it's A.
I mean, if that's even like the case, but like there were times during that interview where he had like this blank stare on his face and she would chime in or whatever the case may be. And then at one point she walks out of the interview,
right?
She
gets mm-hmm. She gets upset about the questions.
The questioning, which again, it's not your interview.
Get
it's
out of here.
I don't understand.
But again, if she's the head of his PR and his caretaker or whatever she is, she's trying to do that for him.
Yeah, but there's a way to do it and there's a way not to do it, right? Like you don't want to do it to the way where people are now thinking something may be wrong with this guy, right? Something may not be right with this guy because that shirt, first of all, like it's one thing to wear that shirt and be a football coach. You're on a CBS interview, like wear something nice, like find a shirt and iron it or something, right? Instead of wearing a shirt with a hole in it and look like a homeless man. And so she interrupted a couple times, then walks out of the interview. Like mm-hmm. If I'm CBS, I'm like, I really don't care where she goes. She's not the person we're interviewing. We're trying to talk to you about your book. And I mean, maybe this gets more attention than that interview did, and maybe there's all kinds of backstories to it because now you saw the email from Belichick going, we need to get publicity for the book, and maybe this is how you get publicity for the book. You turn the interview into a sideshow, and everybody's talking about it for weeks, and it sells right. books. I don't know. There's just a lot of layers to this whole story.
Like, even when you go back to the basketball game they attended, and she's, you know, rocking the, like, the starter jacket around her elbows, like, even when they walk out of the game, it's not like it looks like, you know, honey, let's leave. It's more so like he's leading the way and she's trailing behind as if like she's just there to be there and not there with her significant other. I just don't think that they are in a romantic relationship, and that's the theory that I've come up
with. And that's fine. They don't have to be, but why would you portray it like a romantic relationship or let people believe, I should say, that it's a romantic relationship? Why not just say, hey, she's somebody that I've hired to be my PR liaison or whatever, and call it what it is.
Yeah, I don't think it's that, though. They live together. They eat dinner together. They take pictures on the beach. And
you do that with somebody, and you're not married.
You don't live together. Okay. But, yeah, I just think I don't see how it can't be romantic or somewhat. Yeah, I don't think they're platonic. And I think Bill Belichick is completely
have you seen them
okay
kiss?
In the head. That doesn't mean.
Okay. If you've been together for 5 years, you've never seen him kiss.
I could bring up a lot of couples, but I won't because it would get into the weeds. But there are lots of couples that are in the eye that are not seen being romantic.
Yeah, I don't necessarily have a problem with that.
Yeah,
either,
I don't have a problem with that at all. And we see their arms around each other, and they eat dinner together. And Bill Belichick, you've seen him on TV. I think he's right in his mind. I think he's completely. I don't know what the words to say is, but I don't see him having sort of dementia or anything like that. These old age kind of whittling
people
away.
People are calling this elder abuse.
Yeah,
now,
I don't see that in him. We see him leading television shows and watching film with Ryan Clark and other Hall of Famers, and they're asking him questions, and he's giving these elongated,
You're
awesome
right.
answers.
Yeah.
Like, he is doing that. He's going on TV. He's going, like, I think he's whipped. I think he's trapped. I think he needs to get out, and so he needs to have a friend say, brother.
Every guy's been whipped at one point or another. It doesn't matter, right? We've all been there as a guy. It happens. It's normal. And that's why, if she wasn't 24 years old and he wasn't 74 and he was like 50 and she was like 30, nobody would care, you know, about this. You know, the age difference, I think, is the one that captivates everybody. That's a 50-year age difference between these two. And then he looked like a homeless man sitting on stage getting interviewed with a hole in his shirt. And people are like, what in the hell is going on here? And then the reports that North Carolina is now concerned that things aren't moving in the right direction and things. And so now your employer's concerned about this behavior. I mean, it's weird.
I think they're concerned because there's just a lot of unknown, even for them in general, like not just the public. That's like, this is one of the top stories in sports going on right now. Welcome to May or end of April. But like even Carolina now is like, well, we didn't know it was like this.
Right.
We thought everything was fine. You told us everything was good. It's like, well, there's more to it. So
did he follow her out the room when he left? Whew. Did he?
I bet he did. I don't know. It didn't say in the article. Okay. I don't believe so.
What would you have done in that situation? Because we're all guys. Yeah. Everybody's got a take on this. If you were Bill Belichick, would you have followed her out?
Yes.
Yeah, I want to say no, but like I've been there. I've been in that headspace.
If she is his lady, you have to support your lady.
Yeah.
And then you can have the conversation like, hey, you know, you can't do that because I've got to do this and you know, have a, you know, responsible conversation.
Do you follow her out though, like she's in the right, or do you run after her like in showing frustration?
Probably.
You
know,
or like she storms out. Do you go, all right, I'm gonna go handle this, I'll be right back. Like, because if you say something like that's setting the boundaries like, okay, I'm telling you without telling you, I believe she's in the wrong for doing
hey,
all
let's
of this.
Pause,
right?
Give me 5 minutes. Yeah, I'll be back.
Right. Yeah. Or do you run out like a puppy dog? Oh, come back. What's her name?
Or we can
Jordan.
Or you can be like, hey, Steven's here. He'll finish the interview. he's just ready, like licking his lips. Like, what do you want to know?
And that's the other thing. Do you saw what she did with him, right? She told them to take out of his bio that he's the son of Bill Belichick.
Mm.
Weird.
Because she wants him to make sure that he gets the, you know, the credit that he deserves for getting that job and earning that job. I hate to break it to you, man. Nepotism is huge in this world. It just is.
Breaking news. She just became the power of attorney. I'm kidding. That's a joke. Oh. That's a joke. Come on. Shout out to the text line. moving on. This is another guy who, not dating anybody younger than he is, just absolutely going nuts.
I've said this 1,000 times. I'm going to say it again. If Kira Russo came, and she's the same age, if she came home, Dad, can we hang out with, can we go out to dinner with my new boyfriend? Yeah, all right, Kira, what do you want to go? Well, can we, it's got to be, we got to have the early bird special. Well, why we got, what do you got to watch? The early bird special. No, we got to have the early bird. We got to go out to dinner at 5 o'clock? Really? It means, well, if it means that much to you, Kira, we'll go out to dinner, we'll have a Manhattan, and we'll go out to dinner at 5 o'clock if it means that much to you. And then she comes home, she gets out of the door, and the boyfriend is 10 years older than me! I'd say, honey, what are you doing here?
There it is.
And if you think we're the only ones talking about it, you're like, oh, Bill Belichick and his girlfriend again, way to go. Russo, like,
the whole world is talking about
it's
this story.
Crazy.
The whole world is talking about this.
My best friend's uncle, who loves this show, called me last night and goes, I got to pick your brain for a minute. It's 7:45 at night. He goes, what the hell is going on with Bill Belichick and this lady? I'm like, dude, I haven't talked to this guy in 2 months.
It's all people are talking
he's
about.
He's like, he goes, I know what you do. Like, I just want to, you know, I'm sorry to bother you. I'm like, I'm driving over from the golf course. Fine. I'm like, what do you need, Dennis? He's like, dude, this Belichick thing's crazy. He's like, what's going on? And I was like, your guess is as good as mine.
Well, I think we're also seeing the decline of somebody we thought was this omnipotent being, right? Like, just the greatest of all time, could do no wrong, is this wonderful football coach. And then you see him get fired, and that humbles him a little bit. Mutual parting of ways, my ass, Bill. Okay? So you saw him get fired. That humbles him a little bit. Then you saw him in a different light, and we all kind of liked him. Like, we've been riding this roller coaster with Belichick. He's been present in our lives for so long. I mean, Mac, how old are you?
26.
Yep.
Bill Belichick, you don't know anything other than Bill Belichick being the coach of New England Patriots. Like, that's your whole life, right?
Mac didn't even know that Andy Reid coached at Philly.
I know. He's getting to that point, right? Yeah, that's true.
And Harbaugh was at Stanford.
Yeah, I bet you didn't know that either.
It's today.
But, like Belichick, for me, has been somebody that's been part of my sports life since the time I can remember sports, because he was the defensive coordinator with the Giants when I was growing up. And so I always knew him. Belichick is all, like, since I was 10, I'm 48. For 38 years, Bill Belichick has been this football guy, this great guy. And then we see him on TV. He changes his whole persona. It was a lot of fun. And then he gets back into coaching at college. You're like, interesting. I think we're seeing why NFL teams didn't want to hire this guy. Same reason they wouldn't draft Shador.
Do you think that was part of the interview process? Like, they brought up her in the NFL things?
I would imagine. Yeah.
And they're like, new.
Yeah, I would imagine. Yeah, I would, because they bring up everything in those interviews. Do you think an NFL team wants the distraction of this going on right now?
Oh, my God.
What would the Atlanta Falcons do if that was their head coach and he was sitting there with a ripped shirt and then that all took place? Like, at the collegiate level, it's one thing.
Yeah.
If that's in the NFL, they're mortified.
Well, there's more media, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
But it's also Bill Belichick. Yeah. So this thing it's still going to be everywhere. And everybody's got an opinion on it because it's a human interest story. It's not a sports story. It's a human interest story. Like, a 50-year age difference. Are they married? Is he okay? Is she his caretaker? Again, we have people calling this elder abuse out here. Like, it's so insane of what people are coming up and talking about with this situation. I just don't know if he's going to have any success, guys.
Yeah, this could go really bad really fast.
But this is also what we're now seeing in college sports, right? We're seeing these weird hires. Dion, you know, not a conventional hire in Colorado. Obviously, Belichick, not a conventional hire out there. We're seeing GMs of teams, Andrew Luck, Shaq. You know, like, this is the age that we're in college sports. How do you separate yourself? How do you get money? You hire a name. Best of luck with Bill Belichick at North Carolina.
Bill Belichick's schedule in 2025 is TCU at home, Charlotte on the road, at home against Sean Barber's Richmond Spiders. Then he plays UCF at home. Then he goes back home to play Clemson. If he goes 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, if he goes 5-0 and his fifth win is against Clemson, none of this is brought up.
No.
They'd be talking about how he might be a bowl eligible team. Or like a playoff eligible team in Carolina.
What if she's on the sidelines during games?
100% as right now she will be.
Is Tony Dungy going to weigh in on that?
I don't know. But speaking of college players and NFL teams, there were a couple guys that maybe we didn't talk about where they went. Devin Neal is with the Saints, so he joins a lot of former Chiefs players out there.
Yeah, seriously.
And then Luther Burden to the Bears. I think if you're a local fan, a KU Mizzou fan, and the Chiefs didn't take one of your guys, because those are the two biggest names from the universities around here. Now, obviously, like, Will Howard left from K-State to go to Ohio State, and then he gets drafted. So you're kind of maybe following him a little bit because you have the old ties, and now he's no longer playing at Ohio State.
Yeah, Mimbu's a tackle, so it's
right,
harder.
Yeah, local Lee Summit guy. Dad was on the news for him, by the way.
Heck yeah.
Yeah, not Jay Bigley, Kurt Likens. Devin Neal goes to the Saints, right? If they don't go to the Chiefs, I feel like these are perfect situations for local heroes, right? Like, Luther Burden goes to Chicago. NFC team, you have no argument with that. Like, if he goes, it's like Shane Ray went to the Broncos. You're like, damn it, dude. Like, of all the teams, you went to the Broncos. Luther Burden goes to Chicago, where Chicago's supposed to be on the come offensively. Could be a good piece. Devin Neal goes to the Saints. Never know. Might work out. Alvin Kamara's aging out. We don't know what his role could be in New Orleans, but you might root for those guys because you don't have to worry about what they do either against your team or in your division. I think it's a good case scenario when guys like that go to teams like this.
Yeah, I think it's fun. You can kind of have that rooting interest where it really doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. You know, kind of like your fantasy team if you do it the right way. But for Luther Burden, I think he's going to be just fine in the NFL. I would have loved him here. I think he would have been a nice addition here in Kansas City. And then who knows with Devin Neal, right? Like, mm-hmm. You're going to New Orleans. I feel like they're always good at running back. And this feels like a good spot for him. I feel like that's just a running back factory down there in New Orleans. I could be wrong.
No, they've been able to run the ball, it feels like, for a long time. And Kamara's still there, as you mentioned. So he gets to learn under one of the best backs in the league.
Yeah, if he played here, they could call the stadium Kamara Head.
Okay, Kamara Head. I want to bring this up because you might have to go defend yourself down the hallway.
Down the hallway?
Oh. Mac might need to go defend himself.
Really?
Oh, Mac?
From the 913, they're talking smack on 106.5, saying that Mac almost ran over Zeke Montana this morning.
I've got some smack to talk to Zeke Montana as well. Let's do it. Absolutely.
We've got radio wars.
And
we've got
radio wars.
We've also got 96.5.
That's funny, Zeke. That's funny.
Let me tell you something, though. Zeke's also a little bit older, so maybe he didn't see you.
I hope he didn't, because if he did, then he's just
go to Zeke. Care. Go to Zeke Montana. I got your dad joke of the day. You're about to get your ass kicked by his son. Coming up on the other side,
grandson.
We have horse names for every single person at this station. You'll want to hear what they are. Max got the best one. 96.5 The Fan. You're home for Kansas City sports.
It's Michael Wacha, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan.
Montana's ass. You tell him you're Joe Montana.
Did you beat him up during the break?
Absolutely. Gave him peace of my mind.
I mean, and I jokingly said you could be his grandson, but you could. He's that old. So what happened in the parking lot with Grandpa Montana today?
Yeah, Gramps is rolling in and I'm right behind him, and he stops as we got a big parking lot. He goes to the left. I go to the left too, because I kind of wrap around that light pole and then I kind of park close to you, right?
Right.
Every morning. So he's wrapping
left.
It's
been your dream to be close to me.
Close to you, yeah. Bob. Exactly. Yeah. So
close to you.
So I'm behind him. He stops. Stays stopped. I'm like, okay, what are we doing here? Like middle, I can't really, you know. And then his reverse lights come on. I'm like, this is like not the place you stop in the parking lot. There's no one. There's three cars here. You're stopping right here. You got to go reverse. And
he's
I'm like,
a big backhand guy.
Cool. So yeah.
Oh yeah. He is. He drives a pickup truck. Backhand guy. Yep.
Big backhand guy. Three tries, by the way. No one near him. Three tries.
Three tries. How does he even know where he's backing into? The parking lot has no lines in
back
it.
Shouldn't be allowed to back in anymore.
So I saw the reverse light to go on. I'm like, no, man. And so I skirted I gassed it up a little bit and just skirted past him. I'm waiting for you.
Did you tear it around though? Like, did you screech the tires?
No, I don't think so.
So what's he mad about? I'm sorry, you have to refresh my memory.
Who knows? Maybe he
tried to run him over.
Try to run him over.
Yeah.
These youngsters today at that FM Sports Station.
Do they have a phone number?
Yeah, they do. In? Yeah, let's call into their show. Yeah, we should. Yeah.
Be like, hey, this is Mac's brother.
This is Mac's brother.
I mean, prank calls are in.
Prank calls are in right now.
Yeah, let's do it. Absolutely. Call him up. Get him on the line.
I don't even know. Yeah, like, I'm sure Kramer would pot you up, but he can't spoil the bit. That'd be the problem. And I don't want Kramer to talk.
Yeah. Hello. This is the Mission Police Department. We saw an incident in the lot this morning that we're trying to get to the bottom of.
So what you're saying is it was Zeke that backed into that tree that knocked that branch down?
Probably.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, he got mad at me because I honked my car to lock it the other morning. He was like, when I'm out there, only one person gets to lock their car because it confuses me. Now he was being facetious.
He was joking. Yeah. Zeke's the best, though. No, he really is. He's awesome. Yeah, like, and we're it's all tongue in cheek.
Yeah, of course.
I think it's really funny though. Like, you got radio wars going because this guy's trying to back into a parking spot, and you're like, I don't have time for you.
Nah, I'm getting in.
You know how the stories like never end when we were talking about Belichick earlier?
Oh, we got more, huh?
Yeah, I texted you and Mac an article that I saw while using the restroom. According to Awful Announcing, she was an instrumental part in shutting down Hard Knocks. I'm just reading what I've been reported.
I mean, if you're North Carolina, you didn't sign up for this. You really didn't. You tried to get this football program back, and now you got yourself a Jerry Jones-style circus going on down there.
The last time I got hard, I didn't have to use a pill. Now it looks like a wet biscuit. So yesterday we were having some fun post-production. We saw a FanDuel, like a meme or like whatever it was, a tweet, and it was your name as a Kentucky Derby horse. Mm-hmm. And it was like, if your first name is in between these letters, it's this. If your last name is between these letters, it's this. So we did all of the 96.5 The Fan staff. Cody's horse name is Midnight Cash.
That's pretty good.
It's a good name, Midnight pretty Cash. Good. I kind of like that.
Alex Gold, his nickname for a horse, according to these analytics, would be Midnight In-Laws.
Okay.
That's a tough one.
Mm-hmm.
Drew Nixon, Mr. Augusta, his horse name is American Nachos.
Now, what would be on American Nachos? Hot dogs and American cheese?
Hot dogs? Now, I'd say American Nachos are just yellow cheese and jalapenos.
Yeah, that yellow fake cheese.
Because it's fake American cheese.
The stuff they give you at the ballpark.
Sure. The stuff that tastes really good that you probably won't be able to eat in about 5 months. Carrington's horse name is Midnight In-Laws as well. So Midnight In-Laws, Alex Gold and Carrington Harrison.
Nice.
Rob Britton, his horse not yet washed, is called Quality Barbecue.
I don't know about you, Carrington, but this Quality Barbecue sure is washed. I don't see him winning the Kentucky Derby at all. I agree, Rob. All these horses, they're all washed. They're 2 years old. Who can have success at two?
We gave earlier. We gave you Jay Binkley's name. His is Long Shot Barbecue.
Yeah, he loves that
nice.
One. Yeah,
that's good.
Perfect for Jay.
Very much Jay.
It pairs well with a nice craft beer. I tell you what, Long Shot Barbecue up in the Northland. You can see
there's got to be a place somewhere near Jay named that, right?
Oh yeah. Man, we're not mainstream barbecue, but we're that Long Shot Barbecue in Platte County. Spec Steven Inspector Thunderous Cash.
That's pretty good. Yeah. Because he does have thunderous cash.
Thunderous cash. Mac Morey, our producer here, and we consider him a co-host as well, 96.5 The Fan, Fesco and Dusty Show.
And obviously rabble rouser in the building.
Yeah.
I guess so.
It is starting not beef. Parking lot starter. His horse nickname would be Mysterious Nachos.
What would be a mysterious item on nachos?
Wherever your mind wants to go.
Like, what? Like would it be like just something like, I don't know, the first thing I'm thinking of, spinach. Like, that would be something on a nacho, or...
Ew.
What about shrimp? Shrimp nachos are kind of out there.
Imitation crab. That's mysterious.
That is nasty.
Imitation crab nachos.
I knew somebody used to eat imitation crab because they thought it was healthy, and they would eat the whole package of it.
That's great.
I will never touch that again the rest of my life. Mine is kind of ironic. It is American Lightning.
Love it.
There is nothing about me that screams lightning. like there's, I mean, I did the steal the base, got made fun of the old Denny Matthews broadcast. And then there's Bob Fesco. And Bob Fesco's is Midnight Carrots.
I love it.
Heck yes.
I don't know if you've ever had a midnight carrot, but it makes you see better.
It really does. That's another lie. Oh, carrots, eat them, though. Help your eyesight.
Midnight Carrot.
Midnight Carrot,
so
baby.
Again, quickly, Cody, Midnight Cash. Alex, Midnight In-Laws. Drew, American Nachos. Carrington Harrison, Midnight In-Laws. Rob Britton, Quality Barbecue. Jay Binkley, Long Shot Barbecue. Steven Spector, Thunderous Cash. Mac Morey, Mysterious Nachos. Dusty Likens, American Lightning. And Bob Fesco, Midnight Carrot.
Midnight Carrot.
I think American Nachos is a good one. I like that.
Yeah,
that's
like who
that
you're putting
one.
Your money on?
Yeah, that just sounds good. American Nachos.
I don't know. American Lightning, for whatever reason, Dustman. I might be putting money on your horse. Who's coming in last?
Midnight In-Laws.
Yeah. That's
you
weakest.
Hope so, because your in-laws always come at midnight. Hey, we made it. We drove straight through. It's 12:30.
Yeah. Why are you here now?
Go why back. Did you wait until the morning?
Yeah, get a hotel in St. Louis next time.
My in-laws are here. Do they know it's midnight? Of course.
Yeah, so midnight in-laws is pretty bad.
That roommate of yours downstairs eating mysterious nachos. That's Mac.
Who's that guy on the couch eating those mysterious nachos? That's Mac.
Your dad's in there eating a midnight carrot. That's Bob. It's fine. Sorry. It's totally fine.
Who's that guy with that long sharp barbecue? That's Jay.
Yeah. That's the name of his new chew.
There's juice all over the place.
Yeah.
Right now, Jay is dying. I guarantee he's laughing his ass off. He loves Long Shot Barbecue.
Eating tough tacos. They get a Long Shot Mexican food. Long Shot Barbecue, where they serve you chew, beer, and mocks. What's on the menu? Mock draft. We start with the appetizers, kickers, and punters. We go to the main course, quarterbacks. Then we flip the page. It's defense. And they got the ABV right next to it.
You can see Jay in a restaurant. His whole menu is based on the draft, the appetizers, the kickers.
What's your
and
uncle up to? Oh, Rob Britton? Nothing. Quality barbecue?
Yeah. That sounds so boring. Quality barbecue. That fits Rob, right? Yeah.
That's like that picture you get from like Texas barbecue where it's like dry ass brisket, pulled pork, and a pickle.
Yeah, all in like a silver tray spaced out.
Yeah. What's that guy doing? I mean, he seems like he's on crack. That's just American Lightning. That's just Dusty. Have you heard the show at 6 o'clock? How's he there already? Coffee. Lot of sleep.
Energy
I think.
Drink.
Yeah. Yeah. An Alani, a coffee, and American Lightning. So yeah, Thunderous Cash.
That's a good one. That is a good name.
Underrated.
Yeah,
that is Thunder's Cash, followed by American In-Laws, followed by Midline In-Laws, followed by Long Shot Barbecue. Here comes Midnight Carrot. Midnight Carrot takes the win.
The problem with Thunder's Cash, though, is like...
Is Cash it's Thunderous? Spec.
Yeah, it's Spectre. It's and he's just like told so many tales of athletic achievements. It's hard to bet on him in the Kentucky Derby.
Oh, gosh. Somebody from the 913. Dusty, you spurred an idea. Start a beer company, and our main beer is Mock Draft. You in?
You in? Love it.
Yeah, you have Sleeper, Steel, and Slide.
Pinkley's already in line.
Rob's favorite IPA, Washed Up Kelsey.
Oh. It started off crispy and good and had a terrible backwash finish.
This beer's washed, Carrington. Yeah, I know, Rob. We've gone over this for years now, and it's... God. Still the same.
Of course, Bob's name is Midnight Carrot the day after Tuesday. Yeah, what's up, Doc?
I just want to win, Jim.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. Coming up next, it is your manager of the Kansas City Royals, Matt Cotrero. He joins us next. We get into Cole Reagans. We get into Vinny Pasquantino. And we get into these boys winning.
Find out what his horse name is. We'll give it to him.
Matt Cotrero. We will do that on the other side here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for the Kansas City Royals.
Fesco and Dusty. Subscribe and watch the show on YouTube by going to our channel at The Fan 965, Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.